that be here. Our Father, we know that those words were said long time ago in Bethany after Lazarus had died, that if you were here, he wouldn't have died. That's right. Now that you are here, he'll come back. And we know that's this hour. There's no doubt about it that there are those who are not going to die. They, now that you're here, and there are those who, now that you're here, will come up out of the graves. And we're very glad that we know this to be true, because all your word is true, and there comes a time when it's just not true, but truth is reality, and it's no longer a prophecy, but it's that word come into manifestation, and we're already into part of it, and people don't even recognize it, and we know that that's wonderful. That's that real secret coming that people haven't recognized, though it wasn't so secret because it was manifested and it was turned down, and now the light has become darkness, and we know that's what has really happened. But unto us there is light in Goshen, preparatory for the exit brought about by that great spiritual death. Satan's got to come down. Man's got to be totally deceived in his total depravity. And we'll be out of here, ready to come back to take over. Lord, we thank you for that, and we're privileged people to be amongst those that have become privy to the great secrets of God. Like you said concerning Abraham, Abraham's my friend, and I won't withhold from him the thing I'm about to do, and we're friends of God. Today, now, we know what you're doing and about to do. So we commend ourselves to you, Lord, to the solemnity of the hour, the constant looking at what is going on, that we might be not just familiar with it, but know as we're known in this hour. And we were known way back there to be those who would be conformed to the image. And now we know that, as we're known, that we are those that are to be conformed to the image, and just waiting for the last little bit of dovetailing scripture. We're very privileged, therefore, and we cannot love thee enough and cannot praise thee enough, but we just pray you'll accept us now. May the sweet flowing Spirit of God move upon us, making our hearts one in him who is that great one. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. You notice that song that was sung is a very good little song. It talked about a unity. And I'm glad they recognize that creeds and dogmas got to go. But I'm always a little fearful that most people, you know, they always talk about that oneness that they have because they come around Jesus. They don't know that. They better qualify that statement of being one with him. He said, as I am one with the Father, and he was the Word. And we're not talking now simply in terms of something, a written book. We're talking about a reality. We must always look at that. Now, I want to speak on the Day of the Master. The Day of the Master, and the word master is really Lord, or the word Lord is really master. And it's also a husband. So we're going to be looking at this little subject in the light of the hour in which we live as a certain day that brings into preeminence and the dealing of God with us, and we dealing with God on the same basis. Now, that's where people don't understand, Brother Branham, and I don't say we do all that much either, but don't understand the word that he brought, that this Elohim that becomes is becoming to us, and he deals with us on that basis, and then we don't turn around and deal with him on another basis. It's like the husband brings home, you know, a pot roast for supper, and he wants to have it surrounded, you know, with the vegetables. And his wife says, well, fat. She says, meat is meat. And so she runs it through the meat grinder and makes hash. Now, look, that's the way people treat God and the things of God. You see, the Scripture is laid out. And if he's this at this point, then you deal with him what he is at that point. Then if he is in the role something else, then you deal with him in that role, like Brother Branham carefully brought out. And he understood very well that back in the days of Shakespeare, they had no female actresses. They were all male actors. And, of course, they would have to pick, you know, a male who would take a part of a woman. He'd have to be, perhaps a little higher voice and maybe not so heavily structured as to being so muscular and all. So they might pick a little teenager, you know, like in Europe today they have these all-male choirs. They're boys whose voices haven't changed yet. And the Austrian choir is the most famous one. And they're very popular. Well, all right, you go to this play, you see, and you have perhaps someone that's even preteen and playing a part. Well, what if that person had the mask on to come out and to play the page of the king and decided he'd like to be a swordsman, one of the knights? Well, you know how that would fall flat. Well, then he wouldn't only not play the part, but nobody could respond to that lack of character. Because a little page that's going to carry, something to the queen on a cushion or something is not a knight dressed in armor. So you see what I'm talking about. you have to know the role, the attributes and all that are in the role, what is being brought to our attention, for what reason, and our response. Now, these are the things, you see, that I believe that Brother Branham said, all the time looking back and saying, hallelujah, what a great day, and they understand it fairly well. Then they look way down the road, and they say, what a great day's coming, and they understand it fairly well, but they don't know what's going on. Now, see, this is why we're into the subjects the way we are, and have been for the last 2 years. Now, all right, now, with that in mind, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 1 and read verses 10 and 12 to 18. John says here, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one leg unto the sun, a man clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now see, right off the bat here, I want you to notice that this isn't tricky, nor is it simply a beautiful little dissertation, you know. Look, let's face it, we are too poetical at the wrong time. We are too fanciful at the wrong time. We are not pragmatic enough at the right time. Now look at what is being done here is an unfolding of attributes and roles within the person. See what you're looking at. All these things mean something. Like he said, he's sevenfold glory. The garments, the girdle, the head, the hair, the color, the eyes, the feet, the voice. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Countenance was as the sun shining in strength. Everything that is in there is pertinent to what John saw at that hour and for that hour. See? And Brother Branham tried to bring a lot of it to us. Not only in Patmos vision, but just time after time. And when I saw him, I felt his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last, and he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Now, you know this is back to the incarnation. You've got to automatically know that. See, so, as you've seen here, you've seen this building to it. And there's a certain role and roles that are involved in this. Now, you might notice in verse 10, where it says, I was in the Spirit, and trace that to the margin, and you'll see there the change of the word I was in the Spirit to I became in the Spirit. So it wasn't I was in the Spirit, I became in the Spirit. John is catching the picture as we know Elohim becoming. And notice, at this time, it's a process of becoming. And people don't even know when they say they believe this message that under the shout, you're becoming. So, Brother Branham came with the word. Hallelujah. He's going to come back with the word. I don't doubt that he'll come back with the word. But you'll notice that there's something in here shows a progression. I was becoming. See? In other words, what Elohim says concerning himself, the great one who becomes. The bride has been in a process of becoming from the embryonic idea to the full manifestation of a purpose. Yeah. A lot of it's transpired. And for the Old Testament bride, it's ended in a resurrection which is already completed, and there are immortal people standing somewhere, amen, though we can't see them. Now, you've got the same thing happening now. It's been through seven church ages. We're coming to the very end time, and there's going to be a becoming into immortality. And people look around. Listen, I'm telling you what's happening. If nobody else will tell it, I'll lift my voice and scream it. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not interested in what anybody says. I care less than nothing what anybody says. We've had a prophet that told us our cells are forming around the Word. When? Always looking for it. Always looking back. Well, hallelujah. Nothing going on. Now, you wonder why I'm nervous and why I'm angry. Yeah, I get sore as a boil about these things because these men know better. And they're not teaching your people anything but building little cruddy kingdoms. Now listen, I don't use psychology here. He gets this flat. Now Brother Evans one day is going to get very disgusted and I keep saying about burning this building down, but I think he knows what I'm trying to tell you. This building means nothing and our fellowship means nothing. We are not here, as Brother Branham said, for a nice time and joyful time and fellowship. We are here for instruction. And if that ever goes by the board, forget it! You have to be, well, I don't know what I would say. But you'd have to be to not understand what I'm trying to say here. Now, he said, John became in the Spirit. As a more literal translation puts it, he said, John speaking, I became in the Spirit. Now, this absolutely signifies concerning John himself that a change took place in the realm of the Spirit. Now, let's find out. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, I'm going to take my time and quit likely before 5 pages is up and we'll go on next Sunday to the next 2 or 3, whatever it is. I just don't care. When I feel like quitting, I'm going to quit. All right. Which doesn't mean I want to be here too long. Okay. Watch. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now He tells you, the Spirit of God, that is available to certain people, the category of Paul and of John, not you and me, is able to reach way, 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 way out, way, way, way back, way, way up, and way, way down. See? Searching the deep things of God. Now, for what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now, John is telling you, I let the Spirit of man that can deal with, hey, I'm hungry. Hey, that fella needs help. Hey, beautiful, beautiful sunrise, beautiful sunset. And the things which are when, look, men like Edison and inventors, they say, hey, I'm going to tap my brain. I'm going to tap my brain. Oh, you stupid jerk, your brain is nothing. It's your spirit. You tap your spirit. And the spirit begins to move out and something begins to form. And you're tapping out there a spirit. Not the spirit of God per se. But what lies out there that your spirit as a human spirit can contact. And suddenly you know something. You begin moving it around. And John says, I left that. And I became into the spirit of God. And when I did, it began to open up. And it began seeing the moving of God. It didn't matter to me by the spirit of man anymore. We're to the place, and I'm glad we're getting there. And it's not old age, because I don't feel that old. Although today and last night, forget it. I feel like at least older than Methuselah ever felt like just before he sighed his last breath. That's all right. When I get up here, I feel good. But you see, you get beyond. You get way out there in a realm of the Spirit of God, and your own spirit is, you're not aware anymore. Oh, sure, I can see out here, and I can feel out here, and somebody took a hot poker, I might jump very desperately away from it, or something like that. But those things are inconsequential. And so it is that at this hour, everything is inconsequential, but what is placed before us in this hour, and at this time for a certain purpose. See? I said, Brother Branson, let your mind go. You've got to let your mind go. You've got to let your spirit go. You make a complete disconnection and a disunion from what is here. Now, this man, being a prophet, could go right into a trance. We don't have to go into a trance. You don't have to go into that's Pentecostal stuff. That's sensational. You don't have a need a trance. You don't need gifts. You don't need this. You don't need the other thing. You just need in this hour is let your thinking go. That's all. Let it go. Stop stereotyping God. Now, God can be stereotyped insofar as certain things are said, but God cannot be stereotyped. How can you stereotype a God that says you cannot be bright unless you're full of the Holy Ghost, and you cannot be full of the Holy Ghost unless absolutely you repent and are baptized in water and go to the root, and here's John the Baptist in his mother's womb full of the Holy Ghost. Forget it. Don't stereotype God. Let your mind go. Just let it go. And the more you let it go, the more it's easier on you. Now, John just let himself go. And he became. In other words, progressively got deeper and deeper. Right out there in the Holy Spirit and looked down in this very hour. And he saw this thing here. So, signifies a change of his spiritual experience. Away from the spirit of man into the realm of revelation by the Spirit of God. Now, I've had just a tiny bit of that. I don't like to bore you with it, but the fact is that if I sort of talk about it, it maybe helps me and helps you too. And something within me becomes, I suddenly become like I'm aware of something. And when I'm aware of something, I'm not aware of out here because that's not what interests me. And if a bee stung me, perhaps I would have a problem. Understand what I'm talking about, see? You could get a shock and be pulled away. But normally speaking, prophets were not out there with your feet in cast iron boots that were going to made hot. Neither were they sitting on spikes. They're out there where they, like in a relaxed mood. Like Brother Brand says, he said a word like 2 and 2 are 4, 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 and it suddenly begins to break. And I don't have any 2 and 2 are 4s. I don't have parables. Brother Brand had a parable. Now it's right on tape. He tells you that. He wouldn't tell you the words, wouldn't tell me words, and where nobody knows, he took them with him. That's great. I'm not the least unhappy that he took his words with him. But there is a place of awareness. And when you're in that place of awareness, these other things, just what does it matter? And you can be cognizant of something going on, but it doesn't matter because there's awareness on the inside that begins to deal with you. And it comes just like a voice, but it's not a voice. It's no more a voice than nothing. It's a tremendous, indelible impression that spells out words. And those words make you to know things. And the minute that you know that one thing, as in my case, it would be in your case. That's all. From that time on, you got to go to the Word. And you sit before the Word in the Lord, and the Lord of the Word, and the Lord in the Word, and the Word in the Lord, and that in you. And you sit there, and you begin to think. And there's nothing out there anymore, because it has to do with what He is telling you. Now, this is where John was as a prophet. He was right in there where there's nothing of man entering any longer. There's nothing of the human mind entering longer. This is a revelation. I came to be in spirit to the Lord's day. Now notice, he's moving even in a time element. Now look, we don't move out in time elements. That's a prophet. We move in the time element of what a prophet gave us for this time. You see, I'm always back to telling you, don't you look back and don't you look forward. Get your nose glued on what is in front of you. Like I told you the other night, I got a phone call or somebody said to me, well, Brother Vail, what signs do you see coming in that, you know? And I said, well, I don't see any signs coming in. The signs are already in. Well, I said, he told me, don't look at the world church, don't look out here. And I'm telling you what he told me for your good, so don't do it. Because it's not going to do you any good, because it doesn't do me any good. No good at all, it hurts you. So I said, well, I'm not interested anymore in what's out there, although I do admit I look out there the odd time, but I shouldn't do it. But what it is, he said, now you just see what's for the bride. Now, he wouldn't tell me to see what's for the bride if I wasn't part of the bride. I mean, come on, let's face it. Well, people say, well, you know, that thing then that deals with you, how do you know? Well, I don't know anything, but I by faith. See, but I just believe the Word, that's all. If that doesn't work, ain't nothing going to work. Now, I say, maybe someone's got enough on the ball to make the Word work. Sure, that's God, but you're not God. Remember, one fellow one time tried to make a thing work, but the ark was there, and he got killed for his pain. And you know where it went right back to? It, according to Brother Branham, went right back to the king who didn't bring a prophet when he should have brought a prophet. To know, okay, he came to be in the Spirit to the Lord's day. John transported all the way over to the day of the Lord, which was roughly 2,000 years later. This makes this a book of prophecy. That's why when it's opened, it says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is here. Now, if people believe that the seals were broken, you better be seeing them right here. And you better be seeing everything in this book that's pertinent to us. And if you're not, there's something wrong with your vision. It's either clouded by the veils of creeds and dogmas. Too much wax on the eardrum, you can't hear, it's gotten cold. Or too thick lip and too thin an ear because there's too much talk and not enough listening. That's one of the sad things. There's got to be talk, but there better be talk from listening. Something is wrong somewhere. Now then, John heard the same voice in verse 10 that he heard in verse 8. Now that's interesting. We should know that. I was in the Spirit and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. All right? Verse 8 said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Now notice what he said in verse 8. That's the same one that he heard behind him in verse 10, because the voice said the same thing. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now he's telling you something here. John was the one who said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in the end, it's the same one who was the Word with God, and the Word is God. Huh?
Huh? You get it?
And where are you standing, brother, sister? Right back where it was in John. Now, we don't need 12 apostles and a bunch of prophets. It's been told, Omega. The Omega of John 1, 1-3. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. All things are made by Him. There's nothing made that wasn't made by Him. In was life, the life was the light of man. And Brother Branham stood right there one day, and though his words were garbled, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Elohim. And then instead of saying the Word is with Elohim, he said, and Elohim was the Word, which is true. He would have said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. And he said, this is that hour of the destruction of Sodom when Elohim stood before Abraham as a friend. He let him see him, and he appeared as a man. Son of man. He saw like a man. Or they say Brother Branham meant that was he, was it? Go any direction you want. I don't care which direction you go. I look at the salient factors of truth, and that is Elohim was there. And he said, I'm a friend of Abraham, and Abraham's a friend of mine, and I know that he's going to bring his family up right. He said, I know he's a man that deals right with the Word. In other words, he's a man that's right, and I'm going to tell him what's going on. And at that hour came the destruction. All right. John heard the same voice. Of verse 10 that was in verse 8. It was the voice of Alpha and Omega. The Alpha spoke back there telling him that I am the Omega. Now notice, Alpha and Omega is in the book of Revelation, and to my knowledge, I don't know that it's anyplace else. Where's my concordance? Ah, good. I'll just find out for you. This is strong. You know what they say? They say crude for the crude, young for the young, and strong for the strong. Okay, we're strong this morning. Let me find Alpha. This will be interesting if I can find any Alpha here. It won't be. You see, you should have looked up ahead of time. I didn't think of it ahead of time. I only thought of it now. A-L. Oh, yes. We have, this is I. We haven't got all the way. Here we go. My pages to go. M-N-O. All right. We got Alpha is here. Alpha. Revelation 1. 8 and 11, Revelation 21, 6, Revelation 22, 13, no place else in the Bible. Thank you. So he says here, this same Alpha that was unveiled is now going to be Omega, who will also be unveiled. And at the same time, the prophet taught us the same as John, the veil is what unveils. God hidden and revealed by what He's hidden in. And I got that over in Luke, and I showed you one time by the literal translation that it doesn't say there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, but it says there is nothing hidden but which has been for the purpose of being revealed. Every parable, every mystery is opened at the end time. And there stands the same one that they crucified because they couldn't take him because of his word. And Brother Branham came on the scene with the identical parallel ministry of Jesus Christ when he was here in the flesh and said, he will do the same things now he did there if he's the same one. And they said, yes, 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 isn't it wonderful? We'll do the same things too, hallelujah. And they walked right off the scene. And it was there to, and you know what happened? When Jesus began preaching, that's when they killed him. And when William Branham began preaching the truth, that's when he died. And when you and I begin preaching the truth and seeing the truth, that's when we begin to die and the life of God begins to take over. Till you got that word, you're dead. I don't care what anybody said. Look, I'm tired with all the hogwash. Brother, sister, listen. Let's either take this book and believe it or throw it in the garbage. Sin. Jesus Christ died upon Calvary. He died, as I said last night, remission of sin. He shed His blood. He was ripped into three parts and cast to the dogs, as it were. His blood atoned. His flesh atoned. It ought to atone. But it says this is the condemnation. The light has come in the world in spite of the fact of the blood, in spite of the fact of the body, in spite of the fact of the resurrection, in spite of the fact of everything. In redemption, you're dead without light because it says so. And why don't they begin to believe it? I preach hard to you, I'm sorry. If you want to go home, you go home. Sit here, sit. It's your choice. I'm not being mean. If I'm a mean preacher on tape, I've got to be. Because I'm not going to sell my soul out to hell because Jesus died in vain without light. And if God had to close the door after his death, no light, it would not atone. This is the condemnation, in spite of the fact that Jesus died so there wouldn't be any condemnation. Believing then is not in the fact that he died and rose again. That is the precept upon what you believe, what was done. Now you believe about it. What is going on now? And he said, there's still condemnation because he sent light and they turned down the light. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. He came. He was the light of men. He was the light of men. And when he began to teach, they said they'd kill him. And when William Branham stood there, the same way, they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now this world's going to end in darkness and death, brother, sister. See? And we're looking at the judge. We're getting to it. Now he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you don't see it anywhere except in Revelation. So the book of Revelation is a book of ending which parallels the beginning, which brings the beginning and the end together. So what do you care about the middle? Always looking back. Oh, this great movement. Look at the great movement. Oh, look at St. Francis of Assisi. Now the Catholic Church had St. Francis. Wonderful, wonderful. And it also had these other men. Wonderful, wonderful. And it had this lovely sister. Wonderful, wonderful. And it had this Madame Guyot in France. Wonderful, wonderful. And it had Evan Roberts. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, who gives a rip? I tell you, Brother Vale, don't Brother Vale me. I've got a prophet who said it doesn't matter what happened in the middle. It's what's at the beginning and the end.
Amen.
And we're at the end. I know it's in Madame Guyot. She was wrong. Oh, she'll make it. I believe she's full of the Holy Ghost. But she'd never get immortality the way we're going to get it. Now, Luther had truth, but he was still wrong in certain places. Wesley had truth. He was wrong in certain places. Pentecost came, and they're dead. William Branham came. Now, what about? Oh, they said, come, don't give me that. Well, fine, I'm not going to give it you. Forget it. But I'll be happy to take your share. The Bible said, let no man take thy crown. It's all right by me. I'm not going to fuss anybody. I've always loved sweet things, and this is sweet to me. I could just scream right now, but they didn't know you scream, because you might not scream at me, or you start to run away. You get too excited. All right, listen. The end of it. This is the end time. Here's the end time. And there's got to be everything in here that was in the beginning. In other words, my brother, sister, go back to the Gospels, and you will see it all. The Gospels have become tremendous books in this hour. Because this is a continuation of the very one who was here, but he is here in spirit. Now let's watch at this. Revelation 1-3, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his messenger unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things he saw. Blessed he that readeth. And here's the words of this prophecy. And keeps those things written therein. The time is at hand. All right. This is the prophet. 1-8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and is to come, prophet. Because the prophet tells what was, he tells what's wrong, he tells what's coming. Prophet. Okay. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I became in the Spirit to the Lord's Day. Right down there. At the end of the church ages. See? He will uncover, when that happens, what went at the beginning, what went on in the middle, and what's here. And he will tell you, watch the beginning and watch the end. If it matches, it's over. And it will match. You say, oh, I wish I was back in that first church age. You are, honey, and a whole lot further.
She always looking back in one, oh, I wish I would, oh, I wish. Well, I don't wish at all. Thank God I wasn't there. I used to be very discouraged. I used to want to say, oh, it'd be nice to be in that sixth church age and I'd have this sweet love. Everybody wants love, love.
Oh, merciful God. What love do you mean? Now, if you talk about the love of God, I'll be happy for you. But come on, hopefully, out of the spirit of man and into the spirit of God when I talk about love. Hopefully, I don't know that I am, honey. I don't know that I am. I only wish I could say I was. It'd be so encouraging for you folk. You say, oh, we'll just go and see Brother Vail every day. You'll be so nice. You don't bank on it. No, listen. I used to think the sixth age was the age to be in. Forget it. You know, how would you like to have a 1983 leg back in 1904? You wouldn't have a leg, would you? Would you like it? Then you wouldn't like to be back in the other age. You just think you would. In other words, you are a seventh church age bride member. The food they had back there would kill you. It's got wiggletails. The life has gone out of it. You would never make the rapture. Huh? Always murmuring, which means repining. See? Oh, my. It's time to eat the bread of quietness, brother, sister. Thank God we're in this hour. Now listen, we saw the prophet. We saw the prophet. Now the 10th verse, I was in the Spirit, becoming in the Spirit, became in the Spirit the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And then he describes exactly who he saw. Now listen, prophet, prophet, judge. Right. Prophet, prophet, judge. So three phases. Two of a prophet, one a judge. Now notice. The voice of the prophet is the same voice as the voice of the judge. You get it? Now listen again. The revelation of Jesus Christ. God gave. Called it a prophecy. The 8th verse. The voice said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, which was and is to come, prophet. All right? I heard a voice behind me saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, the prophetic voice is going right to the end. And the prophetic voice takes him to a judge, and it's the same voice. In other words, now listen, a man explaining the law does not have the same voice that a man has when he gives a verdict concerning the law. Now, you all follow what I'm saying? It's nowhere near the same voice. You don't speak the same way. When you're explaining something, you simply lay it out. Now, you can also confirm it. And when you confirm it, the voice takes on greater authority and decision becomes a required earmark at that moment. And the minute the decision is necessary, it is a different voice again. But it's the same voice. You follow what I'm saying? There is a difference in the tone, the urgency, the eminency, the whole thing. Same voice. Now, is the Word of God getting realer and realer to you? If it isn't, brother, sister, I'm sorry for you. See, this is what I say about the presence. This is the thing that doesn't bug me, but I watch so closely and I try not to overstep myself to get anybody to think things of me that are not so, because I don't stand here as any Superman. I'm as fallible as anybody. I might have to go back and correct a lot of things I say before it's all over. But there's something in me that makes me feel that I know, whether I know or not, that when people preach on the presence of God, there is something in the manner and the voice that is different, or it doesn't click. Because the same voice that was the prophet is the same voice stepped up in a judge. There's no difference. But the prophet said, those eyes of compassion will turn to fire, same eyes. The voice of the many waters will thunder in judgment, same voice. The feet that were there bringing peace are the same ones that bring judgment, same feet, same one, but a different role. And so therefore the little page boy that is bearing the on the cushion the little things that the queen wants, he's not a little page boy over here now. He's left his job. He's grown up and he's in knight in full armor and he's out there slashing. Follow me? But it's the same one. John looked down to this end and he saw it. Now, notice then the voice of the prophet is the same voice as the voice of the judge. The voice of both prophet and judge is one. And John wasn't the judge. But I'm going to tell you something. The minute any prophet stood there, when a decision had to come forth, he was judge. Why? Because the word of the prophet and God is one when it comes to giving it, explaining it, interpreting it, dividing it, and then making a decision on it. How many people believe today that William Branham was the voice of God? That William Branham's word and God's word was one. That what William Branham said under the anointing was absolutely what God said. And what he said cannot be changed any more than God can be changed. And we had at the beginning, and now we have at the end, the same irrevocable premise. Oh, they get so frightened. Brother Branham could have made a mistake. Well, certainly could be, he didn't. Look, you got to come to the place sometime, brother, where we get up there or we're not going to make it. The woman fell by virtue of the fact she was no longer a virgin. Now, she's going to get back to being a virgin. She's got to get back to the place where the bullet went off track. And in the beginning, the bullet wasn't off track. Billy Graham admits we haven't had a return to the Word. But he acts as though he has the right to preach it as though he did. That's his business. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not going to stand his way. He doesn't stand in my way, so I certainly wouldn't stand in his way. Revelation 1:4-7. John to the seven churches which be in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was, which is to come from the seven spirits which are before his throne. That tells you seven church ages, seven measures of words, seven spirits of seven measures of spirit of Almighty God. Seven is perfection. You say then it's all there. No, it's all finished. But perfection means conclusion. This is your perfection. Well, if some people read perfection the way they read perfection, then it means then there's nothing left, and then God must have died himself. You know, God's just getting things in shape. How nice. After all these years, how nice, getting things in shape. And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, now it just says there's two there. There's one on the throne, there's one behind the throne. Yet people say Jesus Christ is God. How can he be? And yet he is. You say, how is he? I'll explain sometime when I go into it. Show you how he's his own high priest, how he's his own mediator, how is his own sacrifice, how he was everything, how he says, I'm all of it. And he is. And I'll show you how, the best of my knowledge. I won't make a very good job because, look, what do you take me for? I'm neither a prophet nor much of anything else. And what I am, I'm desperately lazy. And Jesus, the faithful witness, the first begotten from amongst the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now there's salutations coming from both. And then over here, he's one. See? You can worship Jesus as God, because God is an object of worship. They took him by the feet and said, my Lord and my God. He didn't kick him away and say, hey, don't do that. But one day they said, good master, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. Are you calling me God? What do you see in me? That stumped him. It wasn't sarcasm either. It was just a very good answer. He wanted to read their hearts. Unto him loved us. And made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father. See? Unto him be glory and dominion forever.
Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they that pierced him, the kings of Earth shall wail because of him. Now, when's that going to be? That's not till after the what he called. Great tribulation, as far as I can figure that one. All right. So we look here. These verses in Revelation 1, 4 to... Did you catch it? Hath given him authority to put into effect the judgment which has been given by the judge. See? Because he is the Son of Man. So, 4 to 7 gives way to John 5 to 27, and desperately, and I use this word desperately with the understanding the finality of doom. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Not like the Son of Man now, Faithful and True. In righteousness he judge and make war. Eyes of flame as fire, the white hair of the judge has given way to the head of the king. He's got crowns on him. And he had a name that no man knew. Vesture dipped in blood. The armies follow him. And he's on a tour of death. Executing his judgment. See? Lamb or priest to judge to king.
But hold it. Over here he's prophet. Prophet, judge to king. See?
Now, listen. There can never be any decisions or verdicts unless there is a word to go by. No course or plan of action is right or wrong unless a previous word or standard has already been put in motion or enunciated. No decision or declaration of an allotment or meeting out of merit or disfavor, reward or punishment can be proffered or extended without a former word basis. And that basis a truly revealed word, a standard, a plumb line, a guide, a rule, even unto principles and method which are known as precepts and examples. And remember, the precept is in the Word, and the examples are already written, so we know and have seen demonstrated the very Word of God before our eyes. Therefore, we have a perfect standard for judgment. Right? Huh? If I had not done the works any no other man did, they had not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. He laid it on the line, and he gave a judgment. And he said, the answer is they hate me. People say, now just a minute, that ministry of Brother Branham we love, why that voice said Tommy Osborne, I'm not against Tommy Osborne, forget it, but he's the guy that said it, I'm going to quote him. And he said, the voice said to me, that's the way they did in the Bible, you can do it, and that's all he got out of it. And as I sat there, something inside of me said, if you ever listen to any man, this is a man to listen to. Well, you say, well, you're not Tommy Osborne. That's right. Thank God I'm not Tommy Osborne. Not trying to denigrate him, but I'm glad I'm not because he's a Trinitarian. We got a fight on our hands right there. He's got three gods to do things. I've got one God's going to do it all. And it's very strange that Brother Branham's one God could do what their three gods couldn't.
Amen. Praise God.
That's true. I'm not kidding. And I don't mean it for a joke, but it's just actually the fact. I want to see them when they have thus said the Lord. In fact, I happen to know that a certain man, and we have been speaking about him, wrote a book. And it's about what happened in Cuba when he went down there. And he puts in his book as though the great miracle happened under him when it happened under his partner. Looks like three gods don't make you tell the truth any more than one God does. Or... that's chicanery in my books. That's a little bit deceit. We've all used it, so we're happy to forgive, that we might be forgiven also. But come on, it's not right. I've often told you folk, look, there's no such thing as a man full of the Holy Ghost that tells outright lies. Hand in the cookie jar, sure. But I want to tell you something. God doesn't even like a hand in the cookie jar. Because Brother Brown was pressed beyond measure when he slipped outside and said, tell him I'm outside. He was outside. But he wasn't outside to call or get in the telephone. hand the cookie jar. And God said, no way. So I want to clear the record on that one. As I say, look, I can forgive the hand in the cookie jar. God does too. You pay for it. But abject lying is a sign that you didn't have the Holy Ghost in the first place. That's where it came from, Cain, brother, and the devil. We Christians do not tell absolute perversions. There's no way. I don't care how make it look, how good it would make you look or anybody else. And remember, flattery is not sincere. Well, no, they say, what is imitation is a form of the sincerest type of flattery. If flattery is never sincere, it's still a lie. Exaggeration's a lie. The lady said to Mr. Moody, oh, Brother Moody, I've got such a time, she said, with exaggeration. He said, madam, just call it lying. Just call it lying. And he walked on. No, brother, sister, we don't have to extend ourselves to say anything at all anymore. Just stay with the word, because there it is. Look, when we have this tremendous force right now in our midst and for us, what in the world do we worry about anything else? What do we worry about truth or lies anymore? Just tell the truth and go with the truth. You're going to get there. You say, Brother Bela looks shaky. Well, take a look at Abraham. There's your example. How do you think he felt 1 minute before he was changed? Worse than he ever felt. Except for the glory waves in his soul. And the inner man was being renewed. And the outer man was being wasted. I'm telling you, one like that. Here he's changed. Bless God. One day it's the same thing with you and me. Getting worse and worse. Don't feel bad there, Alice. You can feel your back getting worse. Forget it. One day you'll get it back like a saw log. Sure, I got back troubles too. It was my back troubles what I did in the past. They come up to haunt me. Okay, I just have to tell the truth for everybody. To make you understand. All right, listen. No allotment. No decisions. No declaration. No meeting out of merit or disfavor. Reward or punishment. Can be proffered. Can be brought into effect. Until first of all there is an active something which we'll call precept and example laid out before us that says, listen, you can't miss this if you tried. This is what tells you, and that's going to judge you. That's why the Word of God distinctly says, you'll be by your word you'll be justified, and by your word you're condemned, because that's exactly what the Word of God does. It justifies or condemns. I'm sorry, but that's it. Alpha is always the prophet. Omega is always the prophet turned judge. God is always his own prophet. God is always his own judge. And listen, God is also and always has been his own executor. Uh-huh. The same one of Revelation 1:12 to 16 is the identical one. Understand now. Of Revelation 5:1. And Revelation 10 and 7. And coming back in the incarnated form. Revelation 19:11. And he's been crowned King of Kings. And Lord of Lords. The one that wasn't completely into his kingship. The judge is here, my brother and my sister. And as we are going from, as it were, from cell to cell. And portion to portion. Spiritual to the physical. So he is doing likewise. Because we are in the image of God. And therefore we'll follow the pattern of God, the one who becomes. And we're becoming. Hallelujah. Yep. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You really believe it? See, look, I get so disturbed at times because I don't know who believes anything anymore. And I got to stand up like a fool and say, well, look, I believe it, and I wonder if anybody else believes it. Come on, Brother Branham said, if you can believe it, anybody can believe it. And that's the truth. All right, he always was, therefore he always is his own and was his own executor. He said, I'm coming down to see if it's the Christ, right what's in my ears. He said, that's right, Sodom stinks. Homosexuality brought it on. And homosexuality bring it on right now. The first things he says when the bride is made up without her dogs, male prostitutes. Stinking America has women judges and women everything. And they say, well, the homosexuals are. What for? To get a vote. Let me tell you. You believe in homosexuality. You give it 1 inch and you've lost your vote with God. You're going to hell and you'll burn with it. Smarten up. Such were some of you, the scripture said. But you're not anymore. You washed. You've been made clean. If a homosexual's all right, he wouldn't need that. Well, we need it too, of course. But the point is, God is condemned utterly. And homosexuality is a curse of this hour. It's a Sodom condition. It's a Canaanite condition. He said, rid the land of the Canaanites, the homosexuals. Go and take it over.
You know what homosexuals represent? These preachers and these people are off the word. Filth. God always was his own executor. Thus, he said, or you could put it this way, I see in the Old Testament, shall he not, has he not said, and shall he not bring it to pass? Prophet, judge, executor, executioner, if you want to call it that, one who executes his own word. Now, let us never fool ourselves into the false hope that God will ever satisfy anybody or anything but his own word. Now listen, I'm going to read it again. Let us never fool ourselves into the false hope that Eve started with. And everybody has to sort of just somehow hope. But we must never delude ourselves with the false hope that God will ever satisfy anybody or anything but his own word. Now you see, well, people say, well, brother, there what you got to do is go behind the spirit of it. What do you think God is if he's not spirit? A boxcar running down the track or something? Yeah, people want every little gimmick in the book. Oh, get me out of this. Get me. Oh, see, I didn't mean this. I didn't mean that. Fellow was out there working one day, picking up sticks on Sunday, Sabbath. Rather, and the word of the Lord was, you shall not do one single solitary thing on that day. So he picked up the sticks and they said, well, isn't that already? He wanted to cook the beans if he didn't cook yesterday. So they said, well, I really don't know the answer. There could be an exception, but I don't know. Put him in what do you call him? Where they put him into that place where you have diseases. You know what it is. Out there. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I got a mental block there. And anyway, they said they'd put him out there in quarantine. That's what they put him in quarantine. And they waited the next day. And the prophet goes to the Lord. And he said, now, Lord, here is the word. And the same one that gave the word was God. And God then turned judge. He said, you got to destroy the man. And then he said, well, you got to stone him. He said, because I have told you what to do. But remember, he said, this is something as you as the people must do. And he said, well, oh, Brother Bill, I just couldn't do it. Well, who's going to come back with him and destroy all the antichrist and his bunch down here? Well, you say, that's us. Well, tell me how you're going to do it if you can't stand up and be counted. Oh, we're too nice to argue if necessary. We're too nice for this. Look, I'm not trying to make us bloodthirsty. I'm the least bloodthirsty person in the world, though I sound like the worst one. Believe me, I don't even want to give a mosquito part of my blood. I'm not interested in seeing my bloodshed or anybody's bloodshed. It makes me sick to see theirs, makes me sick to see mine. I'm not interested. But I'm going to tell you something. We're going to come back and destroy with him. Paul was getting his train for it. He said, can't you judge in the church? He said, don't you know you'll judge saints? And when you judge, you will have to pronounce a sentence. Because the prophet distinctly said, what good is the law if there's no penalty? Why should we work if there's no wages? Why should we serve God if there's no resurrection? You say, well, Brother Vail, here's the beautiful thing. You see, even if we don't have a resurrection, see, you died right there in my books. Get out of here. You stop short. I'm not interested in you. You're short with your word. Get out before I throw you out. I've got arthritis. I can't do it this morning. Wait till next week. You know what I'm doing? I'm not telling you these things as though I'm going to do them. I'm telling you what my attitude is. Because that is my attitude and that is the word of God. Because Paul said, if we do not have a resurrection, we are all men most miserable. Oh, but Paul, you're going to go to that lovely place over there where the people are with those beautiful little spirit bodies. Oh, it's so wonderful. And you know, it's so beautiful. It's a shack. That's intermediate. I'm becoming and I'm not stopping in the process of becoming till I become. Well, Paul, just couldn't be happy. He said, if I stop there, I'm of all men most miserable because I got my sights on the resurrection. He told me so. You say, what's so great about the resurrection? Why'd you ask him? You're an unbeliever. I'm going to clear the house in 5 minutes and burn it down. I got to say these things that keep you on your toes. You see, I'm not kidding, brother, sister. I know that I'm not boasting, and neither am I kidding. I'm trying to tell you something is happening in here. Has begun to happen. I am not interested anymore in these other things. I have got to have what he said, or forget it! Because if I can't have that, I won't have the other!
When does a woman put her gloves and her hat and a veil on? She's going to go to church and look real pretty. And her shoes after her dress and all is on. When do men put their shoes on if they're smart? Before they try to put their pants on, they're going to get their feet through their pant legs. When do you put your raincoat on? On top when it's raining. Oh, well, why don't you just go out in your shorts, men, in the rain go to church? You say, oh, I wouldn't feel dressed. Neither will you feel dressed until you're in the resurrection. Ha! Oh, I could talk on that, but I get into attributes, and I'm going to get attributes. Let that go. All right, listen now. The word of God, or thus saith the Lord, cannot pass away, be put on the shelf, or in any way disregarded, not one jot, one tittle. All will be accounted for and fulfilled. And Abraham said, Lord, he said, I love that boy that I got by Hagar. I know that maybe he's not really what we both wanted, but he's such a cute little fella. Snakes are pretty cute, too, when they're tiny. I don't know if I'm going to really believe that or not. Because the fear that I got of snakes, even the egg, yeah. But, you know, he said, now, Lord, he said, why do we just let this Ishmael live? He said, that's not good enough. Because that's what I said. We've got to have Isaac. Yeah, but he said, even Sarah said that it was, you know, we ought to do that. Well, I don't care what Sarah said. See, everybody's got the idea from the garden up that you can put things on the shelf, but God says you cannot disregard one jot or one tittle. All will be accounted for and fulfilled, and that goes on both sides, which is the positive and the negative. Now remember, he told me, and I'm telling you what he told me, by doubly deep impression, never mind the negative. Hit the positive. Remember the old song said, accentuate the positive? I'll tell you something. We're all smarter. The Bible said that we're smarter than the bunch of saints are. He said, you're a bunch of dumb dodos and boobs alongside of those guys that they're smart enough. He said, be wise as those serpents, but as harmless as doves. And we reversed it. We got as wise as doves and harmless as serpents. The church did. Goes through both sides. Man does not want to believe that. Man has never wanted to believe that. Always it has been, oh, God really doesn't mean that. And that started way back there in the woman who types the church. Now remember, Adam was the son of God according to this plan down here on earth. Not the son of God from the beginning. But Adam was the son of God. Bible, let me see if that's right or not. I don't want to misquote you here. Did he say he was a son of God? Did he say he was the son of God? All right, it says right here, he was made in the likeness of God. That's not the one I wanted. I want to go back to the book of Luke, don't I? I can't find this in the way in the Old Testament, so I got to go back to the book of Luke. I think it's the book of Luke that I want. If it's not the book of Luke I want, it's got to be the book of Matthew. So you can't go wrong if you know where something is potentially. And only don't take my quote as I'm talking about myself. I could go wrong almost anywhere. All right. And it says, who was the son of God, but it's interpolated. And therefore it says, Adam was of God. And that makes it better still. Okay. So what came out of him was a woman who fell and took him with her. All right. That's tight. We came out of Christ. What have we done? Well, never mind. What's he done for us? Anybody knows what we've done. Come on, we botched up, messed up. So hallelujah, the remedy is about to be completely effective and bring us back original. Okay, in Genesis, the second chapter, and in verse 16 and 17, God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Now listen, he must have told his wife, but she didn't believe him. Another tree in knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. And the day you eat of thereof you die. Now, that's exactly what was said. Now, Genesis 3, 1 to 7, the serpent came by, and he said, say, he said, little lady, is it the fact that God said that all of those trees are not available to you for food? She said, that's exactly so, little old serpent. Shouldn't talk to me. She said, get out of here, boy. But she engaged in a conversation. Oh, man, listen. There wouldn't be any seduction if the woman just said, get out of here, boy. You talk to my father. Of course, he might be as bad as the guy. He said, God knows these days, so lousy, a bunch of pervertness, everything else, I wouldn't know what happened. But normally speaking, the woman didn't talk to anybody but her, you know, she said, get out of here until you talk to my father. Would have been all right, but she messed up here, because Adam was her father.
came out of me. Also, she would be a brother, be the spouse. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. All scripture, beautiful. We're going in tight. Okay, well, so he began talking. And he said, we can't even touch her, lest we not. And he said, come on now. He said, you won't surely die. Didn't God tell you that you were going to replenish the earth? Yeah, well, he told me that. And how are you going to die? Oh, that's a figure of speech. That doesn't mean what it says. Anybody knows that. But the man said, Bob means what it says it means. This old devil came back. He said, no, he said, come on now. He said, how's that going to be? But he said, did he tell you how life would be propagated? She said, of course not. Well, he said, now listen, if God wants you to propagate an animal, and he hasn't told you how, but he must be able to tell you how, or he wouldn't tell you what. So he said, I'll just tell you how, then you'll know what and how, and you'll be just like God. And she said, hallelujah, like that. She was shot right there. Genesis 5 and 5. All the days of Adam were 930 years and he died. Now listen, it started in Genesis 2:16-17. That is, that it really doesn't matter. It was further denied that it didn't matter. In Genesis 3:1-7. And look what happened, Genesis 5 and 5, it happened, he died. It doesn't say when she died, but I believe she likely died a whole lot earlier. Look at our time, our age, where it started and where it is going. It was prophesied in Revelation 2:4-5. Let's take a look at it. John saw this. He saw what was happening. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from whence you have fallen, repent, and do your first works. For I will come quickly and remove your candlestick out of this place except you repent. It meant absolutely that it lost its location. It lost its union. It had nothing more to do with Christ. Yeah. Age number one. Then number two did the same thing. So therefore, by the age of number one expiring, he only had six left. Age number two went by, he had five left. That's right. You get down to age number seven, he's got one left. And what happens? They black out. What's he got left? Well, he's got the tiniest handful you ever saw, and he doesn't have a church. It's all gone. Bride. See? He's reduced. He's reduced to almost a nothingness at the end time. His body is decimated. Like we spoke last night, pulled in three directions. The soul went one place, the spirit went one place, and the body went another place. Decimated, pulled apart, rejected. He had nothing left. Except saw the destitution. Died. The church was getting the same way. Christ had no body. Christ without a body. Stand at the door and knock. Is there anybody around here? He said, let me in. Yeah, that's the way he stood. Right back to where he was. Nothing left. Rejected. Ha! You know Brother Branham's own tabernacle rejected him. Well, you say they're rejecting now? I don't know if they are, and that's not my business, but I know one time they kicked him out. He had a bunch of Pentecostals in there. And they said, we've got tongues interpretation, we've got a revelation, that you're supposed to go home right now and lead your father to Jesus Christ. But he said, I think I know my father pretty good, and I don't think he's sober. And I don't think he'll come to the Lord. Well, they said, you trying to disbelieve God? You go home and tell him that it's time to come to God. So he went, jumped in his little old car, and he went home. He talked to Daddy. He said, we had a message from God tonight that you're supposed to come to the Lord. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, Charlie Branham does a lot of things he shouldn't do, but one thing, he doesn't come to God drunk in his wrong mind. He went home, and he told Brother Branham, went down to the church. And they said, you're wrong. You get out of the church. You just leave the church. Get out of here. You didn't believe God. You fouled everything up. So he said, maybe I did. He went to his car again. And the voice said, you go back and tell them to get out.
Amen. Amen.
He kicked him out. Oh, you say, brother, I can't believe that. You gonna make me liar? You better go slugging. Too many people know that story. All right. See? Now look where this church is started. You've left your first love. What was that love? That had to be the Logos, because there was no way they could love without outside the revelation. How could somebody write, herein is love, that not that we love God, but he loved us? How would you know that if somebody didn't tell you? They left your revelation. They left it. It's just down the drain now. So that when they leave the word, they leave God. People don't want to believe that. They say, well, now if I left the word here, what does it matter? You left God. Then God leaves you. So come on, you look, we're at the end time, brother, sister. See, I'm not preaching any longer down the road. I'm telling you what's happened if you've got ears to hear. Because my message is not down the road. It's not back there. It's here. Every time somebody turns down this message, they're gone. I don't care what anybody says. You say, you don't care? Certainly I don't care, because I've heard from God. You say, how have you heard from God? I heard a prophet. The word of the prophet and the word of God is one. The judgment of the prophet, which turns judge, is one with God. And one day old Samuel stood there, and he said, the word of the Lord came to you, Saul. He said, you get Agag and that horrible bunch of guys that ripped up our women with children and everything else, and you take all those beasts and you kill them, and then you kill the king. Saul went down there, and the people said, hey, he said, wouldn't these lovely fat animals make a nice sacrifice to God, which means they could put their hands in and get the nice fat flesh out of the pot and eat like a bunch of hogs. Yeah. That's what they wanted. So old King Saul, he brings all the herd up, and they, you know, Samuel, he said, what is this? I hear the lowing of cattle out there. What's going on? Well, Samuel was completely, what would you say, folded. He couldn't believe that they heard from God and knew they heard from God and did that. Then he saw Agag standing there, and he said, what's this bird doing here? And then Agag said, maybe the bitterness of death is over. He'll spare me. And he said, why didn't you kill him? He said, give me your sword. I'll do the job. Prophet, judge, executioner.
Hallelujah.
Took over the leadership. Stood right there like God. Now, see, Brother Bale, that was back in the old days. In the old days, it, you know, was so different back in the old days. And we see we had an evolving gospel. And, shut up. Let me read you something. Bunch of Pentecostal whodunits. Let's get into it. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed or proclaimed in advance to you, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things, which God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up, and your brethren like unto me, and him you'll hear in all things. Now here's the repeat of the Spirit of God in this hour. It'll come to pass that every soul that not hear that prophet will be destroyed among the people. There's got to be a prophet rise up that brings utmost judgment. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel. Right in this hour. You say he's not going to cut the Antichrist to pieces? You say we're going to pull a Saul deal and be like the armies of Saul? There wasn't one general say, hey, Saul, hold it, old boy. I know you're king, but you're wrong. You got a bunch of pastors running around the world. They tell everybody, oh, follow your pastor. He'll see you through. See you where? Heaven or hell? Preach such cheap junk and say, oh, you got to have a church to go to and a pastor to pay your tithe. When have I asked you for your money? You want it back? I'll see you get it back. I'm not running down pastors. Neither am I standing with pastors anymore who got one thing in their mind. Power. I've got one thing on my mind. His power. Wonder-working power in the wonderful Christ. And I don't love him half enough. Yeah. Started way back there. In that church age. It was disbelieved. In Acts 20. 25 to 30. I'm not going to get to page number 5, but I'm going to let you go. Because I can repeat this in a nutshell. Very big nutshell. You've never seen a coconut shell this big next Sunday coming up. But it's all right. You stick around. You seem to like it. You're the nicest people in all the world. I know. I don't anybody like you. You're too much like God and my wife, and I can't stand it. Yeah, I'm getting the guilt complex, Peter, and can't stand it. Diane treats you too good, you'll know what I mean. You get a guilt complex every time. Women are that, they just kill you with love and kindness. Fool. What can you do against it? You're stuck. Which is a very nice way to be stuck. Okay. She'll do you good all the days of her life. Yep, that's the Bible. That's what the Bible says, that's what they are. Okay. 20:25-30, and he called those elders in, and he said, take heed of yourselves, and unto all the flock of which the Holy Ghost made you overseers, that you feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departing, grievous wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock, and of your own selves. What did they feel like when he said that? He said, the men sitting among you right now. He said, that you thought were full of the Holy Ghost, that they got your vote, the appointment. You voted them in as pastors and everything else. And a true elder that's an elder in age and in experience and in ministry is next to the Holy Ghost, period. Quote William Branham. That's why I don't step down from my office any longer. I'm not pushed around by anybody. There'll be head-on war with any man challenges the word of Almighty God. I did it years ago, and I do it again. I said, all right, you threw a man the keys. He said, you're preaching eternal security. You're going to wreck the church. I said, all right, here's the keys. You preach. He looked at me stunned. I said, I mean to take them. You preach. I said, I got hard enough hearing from God without trying to hear from you, too.
Amen.
Came back next week and apologized. But he showed what he was down the road. I'm no authority, but I'm going to tell you what. There's authority in this word here. If I'm proven wrong, that's fine. Until that time, I'm right. And I'll take full responsibility for what I say and what goes on here. And I mean it. I've got to stand before God anyway, either true or false. So I'm ready. Might as well be ready. There's only one thing can clear me. Do I preach what William Branham preached? Because there's only one thing cleared him. If Paul said, my gospel will judge this world. And if William Branham preached Paul's gospel, he is scot-free.
Amen.
Because look, we are neither judge nor executioner. For God said, I stand behind my word to perform it, but he lets men give it. So we're free if we stay there. Now he said to you people, he said, listen, I'm going to tell you, and I hate to tell you, but I'm going to tell you right now. He said, there's men amongst us right now. They're going to rise up. They're nothing but grievous wolves. And they won't, and you will not spare the flock. Why do preachers break up homes and everything else plumb around the country? You say, this message has started back there, and it ends the same way. What do you expect if he's Alpha and Omega? You think they won't come in to destroy? Like grievous wolves, gobble the flock, eat the fat thereof? Preachers better go on a skinny program. Yeah. I won't shock your ears. Don't worry. You can hear things by yourself pretty soon what's going on. One of these days we're going to be branded like you never believed. God, get me out of here before that day. I don't think he'll answer my prayer, but I sure hope he does. I sure hope he does. Or there's some little rock I can crawl into, or some rug I can crawl into, or some little hole I can pull the hole in after me. Because I'll be branded. Every rotten, filthy thing under heaven will fall back on my head. Though I've kept myself clean from those things, but God has kept me. I'll be branded. You'll be branded too. Can't help it. He said they're going to speak perverted things. They're going to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, remember, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, get this flat. I'm free from all blood from this point on. William Branham died free from the blood of all men. I want to die the same way if I'm going to die. I don't know. Said, I've covered no man's apparel. Silver, or anything else? No way. I worked for my own living. I did everything I could. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. You can't get by it. There's no way we can miss it. It's over here in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. He said, I'm free from the blood of all men. He said, I've preached a virgin message. And if the bride isn't virgin,
It's not my fault.
Because he said, I married her as a virgin to Christ by a virgin word. And he said, at this hour, having left the first love, she has left the true knowledge of Jesus, the true knowledge of the word, the true knowledge of the Spirit of Almighty God. She was so confused in 3 points, she had the wrong Jesus, the wrong God, and the wrong word already. What do you think this age has, my brother, my sister, to commend her? The hounds of hell are not only on her heels, they'll overtake her and rend her. And the evil vultures of spirits will take over her entire body, and she'll be the house of Cain, the Vatican. She'll be the house of hell. But Brother Branham said, give way, house of hell, but only a bride can come out of a house of hell looking miserable and all. But those bars will not give way to anybody but a bride that comes out. Because they're firmly imprisoned in there. And he said, I espoused you. I married you. But what did she become from a virgin? She became what she was over here in Revelation, the 17th chapter. Listen, this is the church. That's why he said, don't even bother looking at her. What are you going to get out of her? What do I care looking what the Pope's going to do? Already told you firsthand, handsome looking cardinal or bishop or somebody. Very, very handsome, distinguished man. On a morning broadcast, I don't know where I was, someplace in a motel, turned the news on. And here was this man telling him. They said, well, sir, is it true the Pope is going to fly into Poland? He said, no way, what are you talking about? Well, they said, he's Polish and he could go in there and try to stop the commies or something. He said, what are you talking about? Their legate name is in touch with our legate and it's already settled. As long as the Pope does not make derogatory remarks and throw out a lot of stuff against the communists, they won't invade the nation. They're afraid of the Pope's tongue. I've heard of the Pope's nose. This is ridiculous. Pope's nose and Pope's tongue. I guess so. And they said, long as he doesn't berate us, the communists said, we won't go in. And they haven't gone into Poland yet. Because the legate is there. And people say, well, the Pope said he's going to fly in. Will there be this? Will there be that? No, if he flies in, he'll be ringing around the rosy pocket full of posies. He'll have a good time. Because who can make war with the beast? What do I care about the church system? They're clap, trap, and balderdash. What do I care where they're going? I've been pronounced bride by a prophet of God. Yes, by the rule of the book, I've been declared a bride. Now what do I worry about? The Hagars and preachers wanting their Hagars. Let them have and show us what they got. If I'm a woman in the sight of God per se as a virgin, then I only want him. If I want a flock of women around me, it means just one thing. I haven't got him. I don't have a meek and submissive spirit. I got a whoring spirit on me. A whoremongering spirit, that's the word. Preach everything under God's high heaven and call to God. We're back in Revelation 17. 1 and 5. And the angel of heaven came and talked to me. He said, I want to show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. She's over all the people. And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots. Yeah. Fornicating with evil out there, dropping her Protestant babies around the place. A bunch of illegitimates. And the illegitimates running around, oh, we left mother. Every baby leaves its mother, you idiot. But you came from mama. Oh, they say, no, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. One day Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you claim your fathers were right to kill the prophets, and you're their children. You'd have killed them too, you bunch of birds. Where do you come from? You're just where you came from your father. What do you expect? Why, they said, you're of your father, the devil. Well, they said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm talking about you and me. They couldn't take it. Okay, 6th verse. And I saw the one drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, wondered with great admiration. She got all cleaned up now. Oh, if Pope John the 23rd had only been Pope instead of Leo and Tetzel, Luther would not have left the church. Hogwash. Oh, if my baby hadn't been born at that club foot, he'd have been a pole vaulter, sure, but he's born at the club foot. Oh, God, have pity. If my cat had been born a dog, I'd have had a dog, sure. If Leo had only been John, he wouldn't have left. Hogwash. Leo was Leo, and Luther was Luther. Hallelujah. The same as Cain was not Abel, and Abel was not Cain. Oh, glory to God. Fooling on your nonsense. Revelation 18, 5 and 8. For her sins have reached unto heaven. God remembers her iniquity. Reward her even if she rewarded you. She killed you. Double unto her double. God says, go down and get even with her. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm too nice. You won't be, kid, the right time. I'm pretty nasty right now. I got to admit. See, look, don't look. I keep warning. Don't look at me. You can listen to what I say because what I'm telling you is the truth. But maybe not in the spirit in what I say at a time. But I want you to understand this flat. He said, you reward her double. You kill her and watch her be thrown in. And you demand it. I want to ask you a question. Let's get this straight. Wouldn't you just love to really stand there and see the devil get his and any spirit that's troubled you? Oh, you say yes. Well, who do you think these human beings are kids of? Huh? I'm going to tell you something, brother. If you don't want to get mosquito bit, you spray every pond and slough and running water even. Or you're going to get mosquito bit. Brother Branham said he's going to even clean the air 1,000 miles up of every germ. Now, if we can't be susceptible to germs, what's he cleaning it for? Because he doesn't want it. You say, oh, Brother Vail, the thing is this, you know, I got something on my feet. If I walk in cow manure, then my feet don't smell. Would you like to walk in cow manure if I give you a bottle of it? Show somebody's thinking isn't right. I shouldn't preach this way. I'm too cotton picking carnal. I would use the word pragmatic is what I would use, you know, to get by with it. But I might as well be honest because honesty is the order of my day and I'm honest with you. I'm going to quit now instead of going to page 5 because I'm not going to take any more time. Except I want to read this little bit in here. Now, make no mistake about it. Revelation 2, 4 to 5, which I read, is the same sorry church that ends up in the church ages in Revelation 3, 14 to 17, when they say, he said, you're lukewarm, I wish you're hot or cold, I'm going to get rid of you, because you see, I'm rich, increased in goods and need nothing, and don't even know that you're wretched. Your bank account's gone. You're destitute. I'm not with you anymore. It's finished. Napoo. It's all over. We say, hallelujah. He's with us. Glory to God. We're getting the Holy Ghost. We're speaking in tongues. We're having a wonderful time. And he said, it's all wrong. He said, you're miserable. Oh, they say, we're not miserable. We're having a wonderful time. He said, you're poor. Oh, they say, no. He said, you're blind. And he said, you're naked. You're caught in your adulteries. You've been exposed where you came from. And you're doing what your rotten mother did. And you're getting back with her to do it more than ever. Because you found it's a lot of fun to have a hierarchy and a bunch of preachers running things. And I watch them. I like to watch these preachers. You know, they're dressed a certain way, and they're so decorous. That means, you know, they're what you call, they've got the ability to be nice, which I don't have. I don't have decorum. I suppose I should be like the person that said, you're very uncouth. Well, he said, let's go to the store and get some couth. Well, I guess I should go to the store and get some decorum, but it's something on the inside and fap. I lost it. I'm not too unhappy. This church here is caught in her whoredoms. She's naked. Listen. The word nakedness, it says in here, I counsel you to buy me a gold and so on, and raiment that you be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. The shame of nakedness is being caught in sexual illicit intercourse. And John says we should not be shamed in his presence. Don't be caught in this hour of his presence with your creeds and your dogmas, your idolatry. Because if you are, right to the tribulation, lake of fire. I'm sorry, but that's the Bible. I'm not sorry for this reason. If I believe in God, I've got to believe in God all the way, or I've got to quit. I'm sorry. One day there was a man went into Israel, the promised land. His name was aching. And he had in his heart something that shouldn't have been there. No doubt he had some of that seed from the mixed multitude. And he saw Babylon's garment. He saw a wedge of silver and gold. And he put it away and he hid it. The camp fell into disrepute with God in Israel. In pain because of sin of this one man. Because of one sin. All sin. If one member perish. Or feel faint rather. Or sick. All are suffering. It's one body. They walked in as a body. And Israel began to fall by the wayside, and Joshua said, hold, there's sin in the camp somewhere. He said, because this is not the way it should be. We came and sanctified something at him. They brought him, Achan was finally taken his household, and he said, give glory to God. And he said, confess your sin. And when he did, the whole house was destroyed. Now you see, what kind of a God would do that? Listen, don't you understand Jehovah of the old is Jesus new? I'm not preaching a God of vengeance. And look, don't you understand what I'm telling you? He is here and the chips are down. And we've got a bunch of fence sinners around the country. Wherever the wind blows, they go this way and that way. I thank God he's calling me off the field once and for all. I hope I don't have to take one more meeting. I come back, I'm sicker and feel rottener than ever. When I leave this pulpit, I'll be right back where I was, feeling rottener than ever. That's why I tell you people that as much as I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to have seven services a week. Not just to feel good. No way. But I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, the chips are down. The judge in the time of the former and latter reign is standing at the door. Behold, I, the prophet, stand at the door as judge. It's in the earth now. And when I decide to execute, and it already started in 1965 of March, 65, when the earthquake hit Alaska and the judgments of God struck the earth. You say, what am I going to do, Brother Bill? Believe, only believe, that's all. Because he stands behind his word to perform. That's enough for this morning. I'm not going to go any further than that. See? How are you going to get a resurrection rapture right now? Out of this mess? See, the church will never have a resurrection and rapture. It's finished. Only the bride will have it. You cannot get clean from unclean. You cannot get good from bad. You've got to go back to clean to get clean and good to get good. There's going to be a bride. She's got to get right back. She's going to get back and judgment's going to fall. That's exactly what it's all about. He's here. The great prophet was here and he had a reflector called William Branham. The great judge is still here with the word that was laid out. He's already started to move. Coming into the kingship, the great executor. And when he moves out of this earth and takes us with him, that spirit will be going up and the devil spirit coming on down. And he will incarnate himself and present us to him and will crown him King and Kings and Lord of Lords. And you watch the 3.5 years of tribulation. Will we be saying, Lord, don't do it to those folk down there? Look, I'm not vengeful. I'm just telling you. It's over. It's changed. You can't stop it. Noah preached 120 years and got in that ark. The minute he got in that ark, the door was closed by God himself. I'm not taking mercy from anybody. Because it's not mine to give. And I'm not giving word to anybody because it's not mine to give. I'm not judging anybody because it's not mine to do. I'm simply doing my best to say what has already been said. That as a prophet was the reflector, by the grace of God, I am the echoer of a prophet. Now let's see where it goes. See where it goes? There wasn't one word said to Abraham about judgment, just commendation. He said, listen, Abraham's a good boy. I'm going to see that he brings forth that son in flesh. The bride will bring him down to earth, my brother, sister. The bride will bring him down to earth, not your rotten, stinking church out there. The cesspool of iniquity. Can a good thing come out of an unclean thing? No! Can Christ come down here with pollution? No! Cursed is he whose blood sword does not draw blood. No vengeance, that's his. I preach hard and tough, but I don't feel one bad spirit in me going out to hurt anybody. I don't. That's before God. That wasn't my idea. Any more than Brother Branham felt terribly good when I read you those passages, how he's going to come back and destroy. Hallelujah, he said. Why? Because he puts it on him. Not the destruction, but the honor and the glory, the crowned king that nobody stands in his way but nobody. Oh, yes, we're learning to learn about God, brother, sister. That's what it's all about. And we become thoroughly known. Time's up. Let's rise. Preach 5 minutes overtime, at least. Heavenly Father, we again thank and praise you for your love, mercy, and honor which you have bestowed upon us in this late last hour, Lord, by bringing yourself on the scene and a prophet, Lord, vindicated by you to let us know that you also are vindicated to us, that this is the word of this hour, and we know that judgment struck the earth, the judgments of God are in the earth. We know that, Lord, it started with that earthquake. The prophet said, so we are believers, Lord God. If this was your prophet, Lord, then we can say one thing. We know that we are believers to the best of our human ability. For we know we're still in a carnal state in many ways. We want to believe, Lord, as never before. We're coming more and more to that place, Lord. We are by grace, and it's got to be by you until, Lord, one day we come to that finality of that tremendous experience that you yourself give, as you gave to Sarah and Abraham, that they could be changed back to bring the Son upon her. Lord, I'm laying it all upon you, as the prophet said. Just laying it all back on you, that if there's any glory and honor, there's anything, my God, that's ever manifested or ever been manifested, it's going to be because of you, Lord. Because of you and not anything in ourselves as of ourselves. No way, shape, or form. We couldn't even come to you, Lord, except we had something in the beginning handed down. We couldn't come, Lord, except you drew us. We couldn't repent unless you granted it. We couldn't have faith unless you gave it, Lord. There is nothing, nothing, nothing. We put it all on you. Oh, God, can there come that day, please, rapidly, when it's all wrapped up in you, and there's no more of this rottenness around our heart. There's no more need for circumcision of heart and mind. There's no more need for anything of what we hate so desperately and so thoroughly, and yet we got to go through it until it's all brought back to where it should be, Lord. I can't wait for that day. God in heaven is so tempting, and at the same time, it's so frustrating that we'd almost want to blow this place up on ourselves with it if we knew that it just got us there a little faster. But maybe it would, but it wouldn't do us any good in the long run. We want you to do it all, Lord. If we got to take a hand into this lead, we guess we don't have nothing in the first place. So, Father God, we commend ourselves to you and help us now, as the prophet said that he consecrated himself. Help us to consecrate ourselves to the word, no matter what it costs. In the other lines and other forms, we want that, Lord. Now we just thank you again for your goodness to us, your presence, your love, your mercy, and the lovely people we have with us today, Lord. We thank you for people coming from afar. They're going home today, Lord. We pray that they'll enjoy fellowship as they go out to eat with each other, whatever they do in homes and so on. And as they go home, may there be safety provided for them. Grace, Lord, right down the line. And us who stay here, may we, Lord, be ready in some way, any way we can do to help them if they want to come back and do come back, open arms and love and anything we can do, Lord, for each other, because we know pretty soon it'll be too late to do anything as we're separated, not to go to you, but we could be separated one from another over the trouble that's going to come upon the earth. And then we know also, Lord, when it's over, how are we going to lay up any more further treasure if we spurn the opportunity. Oh, God, we look back and we just wonder what we're all about. If there ever was a time, Lord, we got to have faith in you. We do have faith in you, Lord. You've got to do it, Lord. Everything that's going to be done, you got to do. Or we're just going to get further and further in the old muck and mire, worse and worse, Lord. You have got to do it. We're looking at you now, Lord, in whose presence we stand. We look at you and we say, Lord, you are our king. You are our champion. You are our priest. You are a judge. You're everything, Lord God. You're our advocate. You're the great executor of everything. You do it, Lord.
You do it. Oh, God, you do it. You do it. Even giving us a heart that'll stand back and in proper faith see that you do it. Lord, let all the glory and honor be upon you. And where we fail, Lord, in cleansing or anything, make it up, oh God, because we are come to the place where if it isn't you, it isn't going to be done. That much we know, Lord. There isn't even going to think of it anymore in any other terms. I can't do it. I'm finished, oh God, washed up, completely gone without you. Lord God, completely gone. You've got to do it, Lord. We're trusting. We're trusting the best we can, Lord. We know it's not too hot in ourselves. But, Father, we got something that says that what started is going to be finished, and we believe it will. So be with us in all things and all ways. We know that you're worthy. We're unworthy, but you're worthy. We give you praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's sing that song then. We'll walk in the light, because that's what it is, brother, sister. I don't care what lies out there. If there's no light on the subject, there's no way we're going to get anywhere. It's the blood of Jesus Christ only cleanses us while we're in that light. We've got everything working for us today. There's no way, shape, and form if we just have to keep in mind that light. Okay, Lord, you start then.
Such a beautiful light. Where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
We'll sing Take the Name of Jesus with you. I know that little part in there that says child of sorrow and of woe. That's not really true anymore. There's maybe some sorrow and this and that, but it's not woe. It's woe unto the earth. It's a child of not of sorrow and woe. It's a child of mercy and grace. But we sing it anyway. It doesn't matter. But the thought is there. You take the name of Jesus with you. Not that you're going to pick it up and carry it. You already got it. You're already in it. See, so the marriage, spousal means marriage. He wasn't saying, I'm looking down the line, something's going to happen. He says, it's already happened. See, that's where people always make a mistake. Don't look back, don't look forward, know what's going on. It's happened. So I call you bride. He said, you're missing Jesus. Well, did he lie? Oh, he's just saying nice things to be polite. Was he? Well, then everything was just nice and be polite. What do you got? I don't feel like getting drunk, so, you know, I don't like booze anyway. Give me a thick head, but if I believe that kind of nonsense, I'd go and get drunk. That's why I've all left the cookies, go and get drunk, or take the car and run down the road and run over somebody if I was mad. What is there left if we just got a bunch of lies, brother and sister? You tell me. If the resurrection is not right ahead of us, you tell me. What do you got? You just got a handful and a body full of misery. But listen, if he told us right and he did. Oh, my. Missing Jesus. How could you take something that's his own inheritance, the possession he said he gave you, and you got it? He said you got it. Light shining in the world. Listen, it's time to look up. Don't bother even looking out. The door of the ark is shut, and there's a little peephole in the ceiling. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Okay, sing it.